I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some weary days. Some sleepless nights, but when I looked around and think things over, all my good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. I've had some good days. I've had some hills to climb. I've had some dreary days. How about you today? And some sleepless nights, but when I looked around and think things over, all my good days, hallelujah, outweigh my bad days, and I won't complain. This is why God has been so good to me. Oh, I felt that. God has been so good to me, better than you or this old world could ever be. God has been so good to me, yeah. He dried, yes he did, all of my tears away, turn my midnights into day. So I'll say thank you, Lord. Hey, so I'll say thank you, Lord, through it all, God. So I'll say thank you, Lord. I won't complain. Watch this. Sometimes the clouds hang low and I can hardly see the road. I ask the question, Lord, oh yes, why so much pain? But he knows what's best for me. My dreary eyes, they cannot see. So I'll say thank you, Lord, for all that I've been through, God. I'll say thank you, Lord, for every tear that I've shed. I'll say thank you, Lord, for all of the burdens I've had to bear. I'll say thank you, Lord, For all of those times when I didn't know what to do, I'll say thank you, Lord. For all of those times when it seemed like I was all alone, I'll say thank you, Lord. I won't complain. Can I just say that one more time? God has been so good to me. He's been so, so very good to me. So I'll say thank you, Lord. I wonder, can you help me say thank you, Lord? Oh, I wonder, can you help me say thank you, Lord? No matter what comes your way, can you say thank you, Lord? The enemy's trying to destroy you, but you've got the victory, so you can say thank you, Lord. You're more than an overcomer, so you can say thank you, Lord. You've got the victory in Jesus, so you can say thank you, Lord. I won't complain. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I won't complain. I won't complain.
Listen, I want to preach for about 20 good hard minutes. I gotta preach. It's preaching time. Listen, I want to preach and reason with you for just a little while this morning from the subject, stand up and dust yourself off. Stand up and dust yourself off. It was while teaching there in Henrico County Public School Systems at the high school by the same name, Henrico High School. I became somewhat of a father figure to many of the young ladies and the young men on the ground. And there one day, one of my daughters, so I adopted her to be, came in the room and sat down beside me. And that is generally the case when she had something heavy on her mind or she wasn't having a good day. She came to Daddy Samson, that's what she called me. And she came in and sat down beside me. She said, Daddy, I'm not having a good day. And I looked at her and the tears were welling up in her eyes. And I said to her, what's wrong? And she said, my heart is hurting. I immediately went into a nurturing role with her and tried to show her that everything was going to be all right, that she would get over this heartache. It is then that she said to me, no, Daddy, you don't understand. My heart is not just broken. It feels like someone has ripped it out and then put it back in, but they put it in the wrong way, and now I'm hurting all the time. It was then that I listened to the profundity of what she told me. And what she was seeking to convey was, is that this is no minor heart pain. This is no minor heartache. This is no minor issue that can merely be brushed aside by a few words of well-wishing and comfort. And while preparing to share with the people of God today, I was reminded of what this student said to me that day. For just like her, many of us know what it is to have a significant heartache. We know what it is to have a significant burden. We know what it is to have the kind of pain that doesn't go away with a nice Hallmark card or a few warm words of comfort and ease. Sometimes the pain that we have is so profound that we can't really find much comfort, let alone a way to mend our brokenheartedness. I wish I had a witness here. It is during such times as these that we tend to find ourselves feeling down. Life can be tough. Can I get a witness? Life can be rough. Life can be difficult. In the words of Paul Laurence Dunbar, life is like unto a crust of bread and a corner to weep in, a minute to laugh and an hour to weep in, a peck of joy to a pint of trouble and never a laugh, but the moans come double. And that is life. Life can be rough. Life can be tough. As a matter of fact, in the words of Wilson Meisner, he is noted as having once said, life is a difficult proposition and the first 100 years are the hardest. I submit to you today, beloved, that life is tough. Life can be so rough sometimes that you'll find yourself literally feeling down, depressed, dejected, as though you have no real hope left at all. Now, just in case that you're feeling alone and in a sense of isolation regarding this state of depression and lowly disposition, I want to let you know today that you are not alone. For if all of us would testify today, we all know what it is to feel down sometimes. We know what it is to find ourselves being depressed and dejected, feeling as though we don't have any hope, feeling like all hope is gone, feeling like you are now in a place of divine abandonment. As though God has left you, or somehow God sitting on his celestial throne has now gone blind to your very human situation. It is then that we find ourselves literally being down. Have you ever been down sometimes? Have you ever been down sometimes? I mean real down. So down that every day seems like 1,000 midnights. So down that you question whether or not life is really worth living. I'm talking to the real people now. You've been so down that you just want to throw up both your hands. You just want to run up the white flag. You want to throw in the towel. You want to walk away and give up. I submit to you today, beloved, all of us know what it is to sure enough be down sometimes. Can I get a witness in the house? This is the case in the text here, because Joshua, who is now on the other side of Jericho, who has seen the victory that God gave them when they marched around Jericho wall 7 times and blew at the trumpet, and the Bible says that the walls came tumbling down. I like the notion that the walls will come tumbling down. The people are excited because they're now on the heels of a great victory. God has moved on their behalf. And the record is that they then put their eyes on the next city, which was Ai. They went and did their recognizance. They went and looked at Ai. They decided that Ai was no great threat. But then they went back and told them, since there is no great threat in Ai, we just need to take a couple of people with us. We'll wipe them out and we'll go on to the next town. The record is that they went and tried to take on Ai, but in spite of Ai being few, it was as though they were many, because the people of God didn't have the Lord on their side. And how many of you know that you need God on your side? I said, how many of you know you need God on your side? No matter what you're going through and what you're dealing with, you need God on your side. The record is that they were squarely and summarily defeated. They came back with the story to Joshua. Joshua, upon hearing that the people of God have now undergone a reversal, he gets upset with God. He gets concerned with God. He shouts at God. He hollers out at God. And he asks God in no uncertain terms, what exactly are you doing? How is it that you have allowed us to be defeated? He gets so down and so dejected as he argues with God, as he puts an exclamation mark in his conversation behind many of the verses that he's talking to God, with the one exception where he raises the question, what are we going to do when people look at us and then they wonder, how is it that their awesome God could let them down? Joshua gets so dejected and so down that he puts his face in the dirt. The Bible says he rent his clothing and he put his face in the dirt, and the elders followed suit and put their face in the dirt. Simply put, Joshua got real depressed. He got really dejected. He was feeling about as low as he could go, wondering how it is that God could let something bad like this happen to his people. Have you ever been there? Have you ever wondered how it is that God could let something bad happen to you? After all that you've tried to do to serve the Lord, he's allowed something bad to happen to you. After all that you've done trying to seek God and to serve him in goodness and in truth, how is it that God could allow something bad like this to happen? This is where Joshua was. He was upset. He was dejected. He was down. But I love the way God dealt with Joshua in verse 10. God listened to Joshua hollering out at him and ranting at him and actually bringing God under an indictment regarding how, whether or not he was faithful to them. But God spoke up and he told Joshua in no uncertain terms, get thee up and get your face out of the dirt. Simply put, he told him to stand up and dust yourself off. And I just want to preach about another 15 minutes to encourage the people of God today. He told me to tell you it's time for you to stand up and dust yourself off. I don't know who you are. I don't know exactly where you've come from today. I don't know your particular station in life. But this word is for you. And he is charging you today that you have come to a point where you must cease this sense of asking him whether he loves you and cares for you. It's time for you to now get up out of the dirt and dust yourself off. If I could just take a bit of hermeneutical liberty here, I would ask the question, what are you doing with your face in the dirt anyway? What are you doing down and dejected anyway? How is it that you can actually be down? You are a child of God. You are a leader in God's ministry. You are someone that God is depending upon to be a good example to the people of God. And here you are wallowing in the dirt, having yourself a pity party, rolling around as though you have lost your ever-loving mind and your faith right along with it. But God told me to tell you today, beloved, that it's time for you to get it together. It's time for you to get up and get straight. It's time for you to get your face out of the dirt. Get up and dust yourself off. Woman of God, get up out of the dirt. Quit feeling so down. Get up, straighten up your mascara. Stop your tears from flowing. Get your Maybelline right. Tighten up your weave. Go to the manicurist. Get you a pedi on the side. Go somewhere and buy you a good dress that you look good in. Get you some brand new shoes. Get you some expensive perfume. Hold your head up and look like you are a child of the King. And is there anybody in the house today who can help me preach long enough right here to testify? Sometimes you've got to just get yourself together. You've got to get it together. It may cost a little money, but you'll look good when it's all over, and you'll feel good too. Somebody says, you know that you've got to get it together. Help me preach in the house. Is there anybody else in the house today who can testify? Sometimes you've got to look good even when you feel bad. Sometimes you got to put on a good face even when you don't feel like it. Sometimes you got to walk around with your head held up when you feel like you ought to be down. But thanks be to God, he gives you the victory, so you keep on walking. Go ahead on with your good looking, smell good, and all of the other things that have you determining that you are a child of God. Do your thing, woman of God. Yo, hey, come on, help me preach here. Somebody help me preach long enough. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I got to do me. I've got to do me. I can't have my face in the dirt behind some Negro. Help me preach, somebody. I can't have my face in the dirt behind some man. That man didn't give birth to me. I was here before I got him. I'll be here when I leave him. But I'm still going to look good. I'm going to do my thing and help somebody else to say, stand up and dust yourself off. Mm-hmm.
Watch this. If you're going to stand up and dust yourself off, one of the first things you've got to do is to be careful of misappropriating individual accountability. You've got to be careful of that. You've got to be careful of misappropriating individual accountability. Listen, watch this. Joshua, here in the text, has his face in the dirt. The man is having a pity party. He's mad at God. He's arguing with God. He's shouting at God. It's right there in those verses. He's ending every phrase in an exclamation point. He's hollering at God. He's hollering at him because he's upset at God. He's fussing with God with his face in the dirt. But watch this. The first few verses of this particular chapter make it clear that Joshua is not the one who brought the problem. Achan, according to the first few verses, is the individual who caused the problem. So here it is. Joshua is not responsible for the mess, but he is acting like he is responsible for the mess. Let me get somebody free right now. God sent me here to liberate somebody today. I don't know who you are, but you're going to leave better today. My prayer for you is that you're going to leave stronger and with a lighter burden today by recognizing that you need to stop misappropriating your individual accountability. There are some things that are going on in your life, watch this, that are not your fault. Look at your neighbor, help me preach and tell him it's not your fault. Come on, help somebody get free today. Look at them and tell them it's not your fault. I mean, some things in life, yes, you're guilty of some stuff, but too many of us are busy carrying around extra burdens that we are not responsible for. I mean, some stuff is just not your fault. Have you ever wondered why it is that people are looking at you and they're acting a certain way towards you? Listen, you've been thinking that it's because of you. No, it's not your fault. It's not your fault that you can wear the stilettos and they can't. That's not your fault. It's not your fault that you look good in a size 6 and they can't handle that. That's not your fault. It's not your fault that you've actually got your act together and they're still trying to get it together. It's not your fault. Stop claiming responsibility for things that are not to be held to your account. I'm trying to help somebody today to get free because too many of us have guilt gestating and gestating within our spirit. We have been feeling guilty, not only for years, but sometimes for decades. Some of us have just come to our guilt a couple of days ago. Somebody else has been walking around for a couple of months feeling guilty, head hung down. Every time you turn around, there's a reminder of what you have accepted as your own burden of responsibility, and you're feeling bad about something that's not your fault. Listen, help me preach again. Tell them it's not your fault. I mean, listen, it's not your fault that when you walked into the conference room, everybody else stopped talking and looking at you. It's not your fault that they've been gossiping about you around the water cooler. That's not your fault. It's not your fault that they gave a promotion to somebody other than you when you did all of the work. That's not your fault. It's not your fault that people criticize you for trying to actually have a godly conversation in an ungodly environment. That's not your fault. Watch me now. As a matter of fact, it's not your fault when people criticize you for your brand of worship. Some people actually criticize you for the way that you worship. That's not your fault. You just got to worship him the best way you know how. And if that includes a hand waving in the air and an uncivilized hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, then that's just too bad. It's not your fault. Tell somebody it's not your fault. As a matter of fact, we ought to take a few minute praise break right here so that you can cut loose and praise God and worship him the way you know how to do it. It might not be pretty, but this is how you do it. It might not be cute, but this is your brand of praise. It might not look acceptable, but this is your brand of worship. And is there anybody in the house today who can testify? I will worship him whether you like it or whether you don't like it. You might not like how it looks, but I'm still going to worship him. You might not like how I act, but I'm still going to praise him. You might not like how loud I get and how rowdy I get and how out of control I get and how uncivilized I get and how you always stumbling around and running around and dancing around and acting up. That's all right. When you think about how good God's been to you, that's how you act. You start losing control. When you think about how God kept on making a way out of no way, you lose control. When you think about how God keeps on providing for you every step of the way, you lose control. As a matter of fact, you keep on wanting to give him a higher praise. That's what they were singing.